Welcome to Straight Talk with Carly Lissa Thorne. And I have with me today a brilliant, courageous man, Rodney Flowers. I love the fact that he understands what it takes to have courage, never ever give up, and to inspire others. So welcome, Rodney.
Hey. Glad to be here. Thank you. Thank you for this opportunity.
Absolutely. I was very inspired by you for several reasons. One is I love the title of your book, Get Up. I Can't, I Will, I Did, Here's How. And I know all of our stories are different. I've had 36 surgeries myself and still standing and get up every time. So just based on the fact of that alone and your title and things I've heard about you, it's just very inspiring for me. And I'd love for you to share with the audience, first of all, who is Rodney Flowers?
Rodney Flowers is an international best-selling author of actually the book Get Up. And I suffered a spinal cord injury at 15 years old, and that really inspired me to write the book. And my spinal cord injury left me paralyzed from the neck down, and my injury was very similar to Christopher Reeve's. It was one vertebrae from not being able to breathe, and I was in a wheelchair for 18 years. And doctors gave up on me, said I would never walk again, you know, be a vegetable for the rest of my life. And, you know, I didn't believe that. I didn't accept that. And, you know, over the course of the past 20 or so years, I've been able to get out of the wheelchair and become, you know, very successful at what I do, become an international best-selling author, and other things that I do out in the community. And so that's who I am. And that inspired me to inspire others to get up and to go for the dream. You know, I had a dream, and that dream was taken away from me. And I wanted to give back. I wanted to show people that, hey, despite whatever you may be going through, you still can make it through. You still can reach that dream. And that's who I am. And that's what I, you know, do now. That's my purpose in life, is to inspire and motivate people. So that's a little bit about me and who I am.
So what I love about what you said was so many people look at themselves as the label, right? I had the spinal cord injury. I was paralyzed, or, you know, all these other labels. And, you know, the old storytelling that we hear is if we tell the story over and over again, we're actually still living in the story and not going forward. And what I love about people like you is that you've taken something that was, you know, obviously, I'm sure, extremely traumatic and very, you know, just mentally exhausting. And you finally got to that point of, and we'll get into that. You finally got into the point, well, you know, I'm tired of this, and now I want this. I'm going to do this, right?
Sure.
And you're using your story to empower and inspire others. If you can do it, so can they. And that's the same message every day I'm putting out there to people. It's like, if I can do this, you know, if I can go through what I went through, and everyone has their own individual journey. It could be abuse. It could be, like, you know, spinal cord injury. It could be a very, you know, horrible immune issues, whatever that is, whatever the story is for them. It's how we use that story. Are we using it to empower and inspire and motivate others? Or are we using it to be, my life sucks and I'm the victim and this is why? So I'd love for you to share some tips and tools. And a little bit of that journey is, first of all, what was the tipping point for you? Like, I can very vividly remember my tipping point. And it was back in the 1990s. The point is, there's usually that tipping point where I'm woe is me, and I feel sorry for myself, and, you know, life sucks. You know, why did I get handed this card, you know, these cards, this deal?
Sure.
To the point of going, you know what, enough. So what was that tipping point for you?
Well, you know, during the first year after my injury, I was mad at the world and everyone in it, okay? And I felt like I had been given a bad life, a raw deal, if you will. And I had a bad attitude, you know, and I found that that wasn't getting me anywhere, you know. Obviously, I hated my situation. I hated the things that I was going through. You know, I didn't like it. It was uncomfortable. I was 15. I had my whole life ahead of me. And now I'm dealing with this spinal cord injury. And so if you can imagine that, I mean, you know, I go from a very active person to, you know, needing someone to, you know, wait on me hand and foot. And so trying to get through that was very challenging, was very difficult. And, you know, doctors didn't have an answer for me. My mom didn't have an answer. You know, my pastor didn't have an answer. I mean, it was prayer. But, you know, I wanted change. And being mad at the world wasn't getting me anywhere. And so after about a year of just feeling sorry for myself and, you know, being mad at the world, I found out that the only way that I was going to make the situation better was to change my attitude about the situation. Okay. And so that was the starting point. And when I changed my attitude, you know, I started to not look at what I couldn't do, but I started to focus on, well, what can I do? I'm in a wheelchair. What can I do to turn things around? What can I do to make myself feel better? And changing the attitude and looking for the opportunity in my mess, if you will, in all of the pain and in all of the suffering, I started looking for opportunity. And one thing that really helped me was when I thought of, well, I can overcome this somehow, some way, maybe not walk again, but maybe I'll just be a very successful person in a wheelchair. Maybe I can, you know, continue my education. Maybe I can do something that will bring some joy to my life. And so I started seeking those types of things. I started seeking opportunity. And as I started seeking opportunity, it seemed like a whole world of things just opened up, you know, a whole world of opportunity. I found out that I still had my mind, okay? Even though my body was afflicted, it was broken, I still had my mind, and I can imagine things I wanted to do. And I began to strive for those things. And as I began to strive for those things, you know, things started to happen in my life. I started to get an education and, you know, make progress in that area. And I kept focusing on, you know, walking again and doing my physical therapy just to see how far I can go, because I still wanted a job. I still wanted to live. And just as a result of doing those things, you know, life, I changed my perspective on life. It wasn't doom and gloom anymore. It wasn't, oh, I feel sorry for myself. It was, hey, we can make something out of this. We can still be successful. We can still be productive. And so that became the goal. And that's what I started to work towards.
I so appreciate that. I wish there's more people out there like you that literally had that attitude. And I get this question all the time. Then one of my questions that I always ask, you know, you just had your 36th surgery. There's no way you could possibly be this bubbly all the time. There's no way you can possibly be this positive all the time. I tend to be a person that can be more on the hyper side, and I talk with my hands and I'm really animated. And I always have to be really clear with people. It's like, just because I'm like this, I'm happy or I'm joyous when I'm in a positive state of mind, doesn't mean that we don't have our days. We're human, right? We're absolutely human. There are days that we may have that pity party. What I love what you said was, is changing the mindset. And it's also choosing, do we react to the situation or are we responding to the situation? So you've taken the stance where I'm going to respond to my situation. I'm going to seek out proactive ways to be who I am and to inspire others, versus coming from the other place of, like you were talking about, the victim energy and the mental mentality. It does not mean that you know, neither you or I, other people who have these situations, whatever that is for them, that they don't have a day where they struggle, because that would be just crazy. Everyone struggles to some degree. It doesn't make it wrong or right. So when you're in that space, I mean, you have, you know, a space of maybe that day you're just a little more frustrated, a little more challenged for whatever reason. How do you shift in that moment? What do you do for yourself to shift, to go into a better mental state?
You know, I love that question. I absolutely love that question, because I think that's an area where a lot of people get hung up. Okay. And here's the thing. You have the ability to choose. So when difficulties come your way, challenges, as big as they may seem, you can choose how you respond. All right. And it can seem doom and gloom. It can seem like there's no way. It can seem like, yeah, I want to lash out. I want to maybe cut someone out, or I want to do whatever, you know, you feel like doing. But you have to take a step back. You have to ask yourself, is this result, is this way of being, is this reaction, is it going to bring me closer to what I want in life? Okay. Because if it's not, then you're just wasting your time. You're wasting your energy. There's no point in doing it. And you want to surround yourself with positive thoughts, beliefs, actions, and behaviors that are going to bring you closer to where you want to go. Okay. And so when you have that conscious state of mind about how you behave, how you respond, how you react to certain things, then, you know, you begin to train your mindset, okay? Because you know that certain things are not going to take you closer. It's just a waste of time. And you begin to focus on only those things that are going to bring you closer, you know, to the thing that you want, to that desired outcome. And so that's how I've done it, all right? And I found that that has worked for me.
So I think that I love, first of all, I love the way you said that, because it's so true. It really is responding and not reacting. One of my favorite authors is Bob Berg, and he always talks about communication, and he has, you know, books called, like, my favorite book in the whole wide world is The Go-Giver. He really emphasizes that point of, you know, are we responding or reacting? In every given moment, we have the choice to choose to respond or react. And so for me, that just kind of is a very thing that I'm, you know, I catch myself in my consciousness when I have those stories, and I immediately, like you said, then we change that mindset. I want to add a little piece. You said, you know, surround yourself with, right? And what I'd like to expand that to is, I always tell my clients, friends, whoever, it's not just, it's surround yourself with the people, places, and things. It's like, one thing I love about some of the programs out there for recovery, for whatever, there's tons of them, and I'm not going to point out one or the other, is that they do say to change a habit, to do something different, we need to replace those. So it's literally removing yourself from places, things, and people, all that stuff that is taking you out of where, like you said, where you want to go, and surrounding yourself with people, places, and things that inspire you to get to where you want to go. One of my favorite quotes that I've written is, you know, life is a play. We are the actors, the producers, the directors, the editors. We're everything. We are the play. So if we don't like what was written, we can rewrite it. If we don't like what we're being in the moment, we can react it. You know, there's so many things that people don't realize that this is our story, and we write it and we produce it, and we have the ability to change, to choose in that moment what we do with that. So, you know, the book title, I love your book title, you know, Get Up. And these are what I love about it is that it's not like, okay, get up. And you also put in there, I can't, because you have that moment of like, I just cannot do this. And then you choose that I will. And then you chose to take action steps to I did. So I'd love for you to share with the audience a little bit, if they buy this book and they read this book, what are some of the tips and tools, or what is some of the outcomes that they'll have in reading this?
Well, you're definitely getting new mindset about challenges, and you'll see challenges in a whole different light. I personally believe that challenges are wonderful opportunities, okay? If not, but anything but growth, okay? Because that's what challenges do. When we look at challenges, we look at the negative side of them. Oh, it's going to stop me from doing what I want to do, or it's going to cause me to do something that I really didn't want to do, or to stretch or to push. But what I found is that that causes growth. And so when we're going after a thing, maybe it be $1 million or a house or whatever the goal is, you have to become that goal. And I love the space between where you are and where you want to go, because that is the growth stage. And that is you becoming the thing that you're after, the thing that you desire. And so there are some processes and principles that, you know, you need to, you know, go through in order to become that person, in order to reach that goal. And some that I talk about are like, you know, demand more from yourself than anyone else does. Okay. Be willing to do whatever it takes. And I'm not just saying, you know, just exercise your will and your determination, but it requires you to get, you know, an education, perhaps. It requires you to, you know, maybe have a different perspective on life. It requires you maybe to change your environment, like what you just talked about, because your environment is very critical. It may challenge your belief system. Okay. And everything that you've learned up to this point, right, about who you are. Opening yourself up to new ideas and new concepts, utilizing your imagination in order to become the person that would be that person that will have that goal or that dream or experience that life that you so desire.
So we talk about creating what we desire. And so I want to just go back a little bit, because, you know, you and I think, even though our struggles are different, and, you know, and apples and oranges, the point is we still at some point had to choose the I will over the I can't, and we still had to put the action steps in place to create that, right? So I always, that's something I think there's that fight in this world, I think, like example for exercising, or as I like to call it, releasing weight, that it's, you know, willpower, and people are going, well, I don't have willpower like you. I can't do what you do. So how, you know, how do I do this? And so I want to take it to the next step, because for some people, the willpower is, like you said, is one of these things where it's there or not for some people. And I don't want to get into that judgment of someone may have more than the other. So what I found, it's more about choosing the action steps. Wouldn't you say it's more choosing the action steps than tapping into the will, because the will can be broken, you know, in a moment of weakness, or putting in actionable habits or steps that you may choose as, or, you know, it's like more of a ritual. And when things become a ritual, it becomes easier, so that when you're in that space of choosing something that may not be proper, you know, may not be as good for you, you're in the space of being able to choose from a different place.
Well, you know, here's my response to that statement. Your will, everyone has a will, okay? Just like, you know, everyone has an imagination, everyone has a memory, okay? These are your intellectual factors, okay? And the more you study yourself, you will find this out about yourself in your mind. But everyone has it. Now, one may feel like, well, I don't have will. It's not that you don't have will. It's just you haven't exercised your will enough to the point that you understand that you have it and how to use it. It's kind of like, you know, being a person that goes to the gym versus someone that don't. You know, someone that goes to the gym said, well, I can go in the gym and I can bench press 250 pounds, no problem. when this person that has never been in the gym, they may look at that and say, I'm not even trying that, you know, because they don't believe they have it. But if they would go to the gym and then they would do the exercises, right, they will find out that they can lift the 250 pounds too. Another example is someone who plays the yo-yo, right? You can have someone who's a pro at playing the yo-yo. Well, guess what? Anyone can play the yo-yo, but it's going to take time to perfect that thing. And so as you take the time to exercise your will, imagination, memory, or whatever it is, correct, there are action steps that you need to take in order to do that. You need to practice. You need to make these activities that you do habits, okay? And as you do that, you exercise and you cultivate the will, the mind, the imagination, the memory, or whatever. And then when you're faced with those choices of choosing this or that, you can exercise your will or you can execute your will once it's cultivated in order to make the proper choices. Okay. So that goes hand in hand with what I was talking about earlier about becoming that person. Okay. Success requires you to, you know, it's a nice quote that I like, and it's called, you know, success responds to the person, you know, who's able to, you know, respond to the demands of life. All right. And so when you're able to respond to the demands of life, you've exercised your mental factors, you've exercised your will, you've exercised your memory, you've exercised certain things about you that allow you to respond in a certain manner that progresses you towards your goal instead of takes you away from it.
Very nicely said. It's always a very interesting topic because there is that whole fight about, especially now, because we're recording this now in the middle of December and January is coming up and everyone gets all entrapped in the New Year's resolutions. And I am always telling my clients, forget the New Year's resolutions, make a daily resolution. Make a daily resolution. Why are we waiting to the new year? And resolutions, actually, I've always found when you tell people to write down a goal or come up with a resolution, they get so panicked and then they do self-sabotage behaviors versus why don't we write a list of things, our potential outcomes and things that you do want to achieve in your life, right? And when I look at it from a place of outcomes, they're not feeling panicked like they're going to beat themselves up if they don't meet that outcome. It just, a lot of it I think is semantics, it's words. And I think words have an amazing power. And I think certain words tap into that will part where people are like, I have will or no will. When we say words like, you need to lose 10 pounds or I want to lose 10 pounds. And I'll ask you a question, Ronnie. What is the first thing you do if you lose your keys?
The first thing I do if I lose my keys is
If you lose your keys, what do you instantly do?
I start looking for them.
Exactly. Why would you want to look for weight? And I don't think we realize a lot of the words we use with our own selves is very self-sabotaging. So I'll say, I need to lose 10 pounds or, you know, whatever. And intuitively, your body's hearing you talk to itself and it's like, okay, why do you want to go find the weight? It's like, let's release the weight, right? Or, you know, so many words, a tragedy, obituaries, mortuaries, all these words that we use in concoction to our beings that are innately pure love and positive. And so I always get people to listen to the words they're using to themselves, their self-talk. What does that chatter look like? And find more empowering words like I will, like I did, today I will, tomorrow I am going to be doing this. You know, yesterday I did this and now I'm going to do this instead of the should'ves, could'ves, you know, all the words that are, I think, are stopgap words.
Yeah, I mean, I absolutely like that because it's called setting the intention, right? When you say, oh, well, I'm going to lose weight, like you said, you're focusing on what you don't want, which is the weight. But when you say, I'm going to be healthy, now your intention is healthy. You're not even thinking about weight or losing it. You're thinking about being healthy. So losing the weight is a side effect of being healthy. And so that's what you want to focus on is a healthy, you know, aspect of life. So yes, I love that.
Awesome. I'd love for you to share. I always have some, like, one of my favorite little ones to get people out of the situation when they're in the moment of distress or screaming or whatever is literally, I'm sure you've heard this one, is, you know, fake the smile. Because if you force a smile on your face internally, it creates different chemicals that happen in your body. It's like when one person yawns, another person yawns, another person yawns, it's no different than that energetic light, if you will, that when you force yourself to smile, no matter how angry you are in that moment, your body will actually have a really hard time staying angry. So that's one of the things I love to tell clients to do. And another one, obviously, is I don't care where they are. They have to go to the restroom or they're in the boardroom and they're in the office before they're getting ready to go into a meeting. It's to take their whole body and like squeeze it really, really, really tight and hold their breath really, you know, just squeeze everything really tight and then release. And just go, you know, and then all of a sudden when they do that, their body again resets. So what are some like tips that you like to use that are quick, simple, easy if we're in that moment?
Well, you know, I love meditating and getting into a very relaxed state and focusing on what I want. And so when challenges come and it seems very difficult and it's like overwhelming, it seems that way, I take myself back and I get in a relaxed state, okay? A calmness of mind, right? And then I imagine what it is that I want, what it is that I'm after. And then that allows me to reset my mind and put things back into perspective because I understand why things are the way they are and the way I need to respond or behave in order to get to the thing that I'm trying to get to. And so that's what I do. I practice that on the regular, you know, getting in a relaxed state, you know, becoming the thing that I want out of life, you know, getting involved with it, getting emotional with it right now, imagining it. You know, we always wait to, you know, have what we want in the physical world. And that's because we haven't exercised or understand who we are from a spiritual sense. So I can have $1 million right now in my mind. And this was a very effective way of thinking with walking again. Okay. Because if you can imagine being paralyzed at 15, I wanted nothing more than to walk again. And so I was walking again well before I actually started walking again, because I was walking again in my mind. So I would just take the time out and feel what it was like to walk again, what I would do, where I would go if I can walk again. And I'm going to tell you, some of those things that I've imagined, I've actually done it, you know, now in the physical. But, you know, I was enjoying that. Now I enjoy that process in the spiritual realm, you know, because that's what I wanted. And so even though things were difficult, I still had peace of mind because I could go to that place, right? No matter what the doctors were saying, I can go secretly to that place and enjoy it. And I had it, you know, it was mine.
So two things in that. One is, I think when you go through, you know, a severe tragedy like the one you went through and what other people may go through, I think there's also, again, there's that pity party when you start. But then, as you said, as you evolve and you go through the point of being, you know, just like, I'm done with this, I want to move forward, and you start in your mind practicing, there's that phrase that says, you only become more of what you already are. So if before you won the lottery, you were a miser or someone that was negative and unhappy, a million, you know, millions, millions of dollars, you're only gonna be more of that person. If you were a giving person before, you're only gonna be more of a giving person. So I think as we go through these tragedies and have those choice points and choosing what we choose to be, and then, as you said, it's like then it's practicing in our minds and creating these patterns to do that. I think that makes all the difference in the world. There's one other thing I want to point out. I know you've had to have done this to get where you are, is so many people think that if they ask for help, that's weakness. I know when I was growing up and all the stuff that I went through, I was, you know, no one's gonna hurt me again. You know, I'm this tough cookie, I'm gonna go lift weights and no one's gonna ever mess with me again. And I did, I started lifting weights in 1985 and tons of muscle. And, you know, I became very more male oriented because I was like, no one's ever gonna hurt me again, right? And I think we need to get that place of, it's gotta be a different mindset and not pushing the boulders, literally going with the flow. And I think spirituality, whatever that is to somebody, really makes a huge difference. Whether you're finding a mindset, it could be a mini meditation, like you said, focusing or walking yourself through what it'd be like to walk again, and or walk and do whatever it is that you were actually dreaming and thinking at that moment. So I think the visualization tools are really quite powerful. I'd love for you to talk to this point, though. Getting people to understand that it is not weakness in asking for help. It is literally true the efforts of community, friendships, spirituality, whatever that is to you, having some sort of inner belief in something and making those connections that really arrive to help you get to the other side. So what is something that you can say to people to encourage them to please reach out and get help and don't feel like you're the lone island and you alone can do this, because it doesn't really work that way?
I'm a very down-to-earth person. So I want you to listen to this demonstration. Whenever you move, right? Let's say you lived somewhere, you're gonna move. Let's say you was on the East Coast and you're gonna move to the West Coast. What do? Right? You hire a moving company. And the same thing is applicable in your life. When you're here and you wanna move to another place, you have to get you some help. Someone to help you move from where you are to where you wanna go. There's a quote in Napoleon Hill's book, Think and Grow Rich, and it says, it pays to pay for knowledge. You know, pay for someone to help you. All right. I think it is important and imperative, right, that you have the right people around you guiding you, giving you the right information that you need in order to go from point A to point B. Obviously, doing it by yourself is not working, or else you would be there. So that's what I did. I got help. I have mentors. I have several mentors that I consult with. All right. And I have friends that I talk to. I don't make decisions in a vacuum. I'm always seeking ways to do what I need to do better, faster, and improve who I am. And I'm always gathering information. I keep my mind filled with books. This is my help. All right. And if someone has already done what I'm trying to do, why not tap into what they've done? Why not tap into that source and say, hey, can you help me? I want to do what you're doing. That's what we're here for. I think you're not, if you're afraid of doing that, or you think it's a weakness, you're missing out, and you probably can get where you want to go a lot faster with a lot less headache by just asking for help.
I love the word asking. Too many people are afraid to even ask a question because lest they be someone thinks they're dumb, right? So I think we need to get out of that box and realize the more questions we ask, A, it's knowledge to learn from and growth. And again, it's a choice because you can get information from someone and not do anything with it. However, that is why, for example, I never use the words expert because I always know there's someone, yes, I'm really good at things and I am really knowledgeable in certain things. However, I always know there's someone out there that knows more than I because it's a technology, evolution and all that. So I may have expertise, I'm never the expert because if I am an expert, then I have nothing to learn. So that's one word I always have a semantical issue with because everyone's out there and you know, I'm an expert in this and I'm an expert in that. It's like, really? It's like, you know, I want to come from the point of view that I'm always evolving and learning. So for me, like you said, education, filling your minds, learning, and then applying that. I would love for you also to share with people, because I know we're coming up on time here a little bit, is where can people find out about Rodney Flowers and where can they get your book?
Well, you can find out about Rodney Flowers at www.rodneyflowers.com. That's RodneyFlowers. My book is available on Amazon, all right, Barnes and Nobles. It's available electronically as well on Kindle, as well as soft cover. You can buy the book directly from me if you want a personalized autographed copy at my store at www.getupandachievemore.com/store. And I'm available on all social media, facebook.com/Rodney Flowers fans. I'm also on Twitter at Rodney Flowers 22. And I'm also on Instagram at Rodney C Flowers.
I love your last name. What a beautiful name to have, honestly. I mean, I love it when people get names. They're just so amazing. All names are amazing. However, I love it when there has this, you know, I don't know. This is something I love flowers. I'm a flower nut. So anyways, I just want to commend you on all that you're doing. I commend you on your strength. I commend you on using what has happened to you to inspire and motivate and educate others. I think it's the more people we have out there using past in order to not be from victim mode and encourage others to come out and get the help they need, the more powerful world we'll have. I'd love for you to share three last pointers that you think that really empower others, whether it be tips and tools that come out of that state of victimhood or to get help, or just some last three tidbits that mean something to you.
Well, here's the thing. Grit up, number one. Whatever state that you're in, whatever challenge you may be facing, I don't care how difficult it may be, instead of giving up, I want you to grit up, okay? And that means just pick up your loins and say, you know what? I'm not going to allow this defeat me. I'm not going to allow my circumstances to win. I'm going to win, and I'm going to develop the strength and the grit to make it happen. That's the first thing. Second thing, make up your mind that you're going to succeed on purpose. Anyone that has done anything in this world that is great, they didn't do it by chance, okay? They did it deliberately. So you need to make your actions, your thoughts, and your beliefs, make them deliberate towards the thing that you want, okay? So decide that you're going to succeed on purpose. And finally, just push, all right? Very simple. Just push towards your goals and your dreams. Don't give up. Don't allow the circumstances to win. Push. Push. Expand beyond your current limitations and push.
I want to tie into that because I do love the push analogy. I just want people to find the balance. Realize that when we attempt to push the current, it can backfire a little bit. I agree with what you're saying. We do definitely need to push through things. I think we also need to find the balance between muscling it, which is pushing, and pushing and allowing. I think those are two very distinct things. And I love that you said that, because it's a great, you know, kind of caveat to put in there. Are we pushing the current, or are we pushing with the current? You know, it's kind of like, right? So I think that's a really interesting analogy. It's just been such a delightful just experience having you talk about your life and who you are. I really appreciate that, and I respect everything you're doing. And I look forward to connecting with you again in a future time and finding out what's going on in your life.
Sure.
So everybody knows, I do put together an entire blog post that will have all of Ronnie's information. It'll have the embedded video, it'll have the embedded podcast. You can choose to listen, or you can choose to look and see animation, body language, and hands. And it'll be out soon, and I'll let everybody know. Thank you so much once again for being with me. It's been an absolute honor and a pleasure.
Thank you very much for having me.
You're welcome. Okay, so this is the interview for today with the wonderful Ronnie Flowers. You can find Ronnie Flowers at ronnieflowers.com. You've been with your host, Carly Alyssa Thorne, and I am all over the internet at carlyalyssathorne.com, and that's CarlyAlyssaThorne.com. Have an amazing, blessed day, everyone. Bye for now.